Coming up on podcast 1349, the top 10 cars sold in the Netherlands last month were all EVs. Were all EVs? I know. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, what do you call a London taxi in Athens? Probably still a London taxi, I imagine. Audi installing charging in South Africa. And we see the new refreshed Tesla Model X here in Europe. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 21st of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I've just been through every EV story. Hundreds of stories today, so you don't have to. I'm here to save you time. It's my job. It's why so many Patreon supporters say they support this show. And a new one signing up today, a new Patreon producer at the entry level, gets the ad-free feed, Jack Jacquette. Thank you so much, Jack, for signing up along with other people this week. Been a really busy week for Patreon signups. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the fourth anniversary. People heard about the podcast, reminded them of my kind of story, what we've been through, the journey over the last 4 years, and people thinking, you know what? Go on, it's about time. I'll have a look. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You don't have to, of course. The podcast will always be free. But yeah, it's been like a couple of signups a day, which has just been, I mean, it's just amazing, mind-blowing support on Patreon. And of course, from Monday, we start the new spin-off show, EV News Briefly, for those that are really stuck for time. And then the following week, we start EV News Letter, which will give you all of your EV news and information that you want in your inbox if you haven't got time to listen to a podcast or watch it on YouTube. I'll give you more details about how you can hear and see those extra shows and then eventually sign up to the EV newsletter nearer the time. I haven't even started thinking about it yet, so at some point I'm going to have to work out what host do we use, what's going to be the schedule, blah, 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 blah. But hey, that's a job for the weekends. Now let's talk about some exciting battery technology. Now, we don't talk about every story about, you know, the latest wonder battery, because so often it's in the lab. It doesn't really affect the real world. But SKE Innovation have got such a reputation in the EV battery world that when SK Innovation revealing that they are now collaborating with the research team at Georgia Tech in the US by advancing the era of next generation solid state batteries and proper solid state batteries, you're going to have to pay attention. Professor Lee Sung Woo and his team have developed a solid electrolyte that boosts the ionic conductivity by 100 times. And I'm not going to promise to understand anything about solid-state batteries. Well, I picked up a little bit over the years of doing this podcast. But no, what I mean by that is, like, what does it mean? Well, it means much faster charging. It potentially means much more availability of batteries, because when they can scale them, we'll be able to have smaller batteries in the car, because you can have a car going 800 or 1,000 kilometres with a similar size battery as what you've got now, or actually maybe you put half the size battery in, you've still got a 400 kilometre city car, and then you can make two cars for what we would do one now. So really interesting technology there. Again, a lot of it is jam tomorrow, but I thought I'd bring you that on the podcast today because it looks interesting. Well, last October, the South Korean battery giant SK started working with Solid Power. They were developing all solid state batteries that can actually be made in the current lithium ion battery production facilities, writes electrive.com. And that's crucial. So many gigafactories are going up around the world, China, Europe, US now as well. And if that technology is going to be obsolete in a period of time, and, you know, solid state batteries are a bit like nuclear fusion and hydrogen cars. They're always 3 to 5 years away, have been for the last 3 or 4 decades. But if we do end up with this new technology, you want to make sure that you can do it in the existing gigafactories to move over as quick as possible. And that's what Solid Power are working on. Well, until now, realizing a solid electrolyte, that's the bit that transfers it from anode to cathode, that simultaneously ensures the ionic conductivity and safety whilst functioning has been the biggest hurdle with getting this technology out of the lab. It's really, really interesting future tech. Not for now, but it's interesting. Now, a car that is on the roads, and that is the Zeekr 001. The British publication Autocar have got their hands on one to give it a test drive, of course owned by the Chinese firm Geely. Zeekr is their spin-off brand. All new, all electric, more premium, spun out from Lincoln Co., and they've called it the Zeekr 001. which kind of gives them, you know, another 998 models till they run out of numbers using those three digits. It's powerful. 536 horsepower, two motors, one on each axle, 0 to 62 miles an hour, 0 to 100 k's, in 3.8 seconds. So that's BMW i4 M50 territory. Now, the Zeekr 001 has air suspension. It'll change the ground clearance from about 117mm to 205mm to battery sizes, either an 86 or a 100 kilowatt hour battery. And it charges quickly. 360 kilowatt peak charge rate. In China, you can get one. Over here, not so much. However, they do say in Autocar that the car will be heading, is likely to be heading for Europe. Well, who knows if it'll be called a Zeekr or something else. Of course, Geely own Polestar and Volvo and the London Black Cabs. We'll get onto those in a moment. So it makes you wonder, will they use that brand or something else? We don't know. I'll pop a link to Autocar in the show notes so you can read more. What do you call a London Black Cab in Athens or Paris? Probably still a London Black Cab. Look, iconic, famous, used in the Olympic opening ceremony with the Spice Girls hanging out of the sunroofs. But the London Black Cab needed to be overhauled. Now, as many long-time listeners know, I spent almost 10 years before I became a full-time podcaster working in central London, getting the train into Waterloo, walking across the Thames, walking past Big Ben every day, Houses of Parliament, up through Charing Cross and Soho, where my office was in the middle of Soho, Golden Square in London. And the amount of buses and black cabs that were just offensive was amazing. And this is going back, obviously, you know, between, well, 3 and probably 10 years. And, you know, for a while, I'd take my bike on the train. For a while, I'd use those hire bikes as well, those Santander cycles. And, you know, you'd just tap your mobile phone on and it unlocks one and just use one for 10 or 15 minutes because there was a bike lock or there was a kind of row of them just outside my offices. And so it was really convenient. But again, you'd be stuck behind a taxi and just you could just see the plumes of black smoke coming out of those old diesel vehicles, many of which were being kept on the road. Now, look, the London Black Cab is a fantastic improvement. It's not fully electric. LEVC make it. Owned by, yes, Geely. It's a range extender, but it is a serial hybrid. So the engine isn't connected to the wheels. So only ever is powered by an electric motor. LEVC have been making this new Black Cab for a while now. The VN5. It's also got a van version of it, and it's also got a shuttle version of it. It's got a new camper, e-camper version of it. We saw that late last year. And now it's going to be seen in Greece, and it's going to be seen in France as well. And that's great, because these vehicles are working vehicles. They've got three new dealerships in Sweden, and they've now got dealerships in France and Greece as well. That is fantastic news for cleaning up the air in those big, big cities. Now, in the US, people are asking me, look, is the Build Back Better bill dead? Senator Joe Manchin, who, you know, I'm not in the US. I don't get American politics. It seems bonkers that one person can basically veto a whole bill that would have done so much for clean air, to stop our children growing up with lung cancer and asthma. How this person can sleep at night. This person is literally, I mean, doing so much damage to the health of future generations by saying, no, I don't want to spend that money on cleaning up the climate. Of course, he is funded by the fossil fuel industry. But hey, like I say, I don't understand how one person can stop the planet, literally the planet, cleaning up. But anyway, the White House National Climate Advisor, Gina McCarthy, today has been talking about the issue and expressing confidence that the part of the Build Back Better bill, the credits for EVs, will survive in some form of reworked climate and social spending bill. President Joe Biden signaling a willingness to accept chunks of this stalled legislation, which is why he's the president and a very good politician and a compromiser and someone who can get things moving through and bring sides together, which I hope is what That seems to be what people say that is his skill, a pragmatic gentleman. I think I'd just be furious with it and, you know, a little bit more Trump and be a bit shouty. But either way, Gina McCarthy said, I'm not seeing any disputes about the need to continue to make sure that these technologies are affordable and accessible to everyone. The $550 billion infrastructure bill that was signed into law last November includes $7.5 billion for EV charging stations in the US and a proposal to offer as much as $12,500 in tax credits. Well, actually, they are tax credits, but they are refundable as well. So if you don't need the whole $12,500, you get a check back from the government. Those were part of the new bill that's currently in limbo as Congress struggles to pass Biden's proposed bill. According to Bloomberg, Quint.com, EVs don't just help us reach our climate and air quality goals, she said. When you drive one of these things, you want one. So it's a real market, not one that we have to push. I guess there's people have been saying, well, hey, look, you're pushing EVs on us. Certainly Toyota have been doing that recently as well, saying, look, you tell us the goal, which is fewer carbon emissions, and we'll decide how to get there. They're not happy that the government has gone, hey, how we're going to get there is EVs. Chop, chop, sunshine, you better start making some cars, Mr. Toyota. So that's what they're upset about, because it's inconvenient for them. So they're saying, hey, look, these are great cars. There's a real market here. But, oh, man, it annoys me so much. This is a positive podcast. It's not ranty. I don't get angry with stuff. But it annoys me so much that this person who has stopped the bill going through, multimillionaire, probably living, you know, in the lap of luxury, living the life of Riley, funded by the fossil fuel industry, he and his family and his heirs are going to be absolutely fine. Thank you very much. Nice little fully funded pension, all sorted. I'm sure he does very well for himself. And meanwhile, low and middle income families and working class and even middle class people across America have no chance of getting inside an electric vehicle because they're too busy worrying about whether there's going to be any money left on a Sunday night at the end of the week before they get paid again. It just infuriates me. We need to do so much more to help people into this technology. I guess it'll happen, but it frustrates the hell out of me. And if I could do anything else with my life, it would be in some way, you know, getting these cars and technologies into the hands of people who could really do with a vehicle that has so much lower running and maintenance costs. Makes a real difference when you're not spending $200-$400 a month just ferrying the kids around in gas. Anyway, I'll stop now because, hey, smiley, smiley, always try and be happy. On the way very soon, we'll talk about LG seeing a record demand for their battery projects. And how did that electric rally car do in Dakar in the end? I'll tell you. Stick around. Now, headline story. The December 2021 numbers came out for the Netherlands a little while ago, first week of the new year, actually, but I've only just seen these on a website called kentekenradar.nl. It's a Netherlands website. It's in Dutch, but, you know, Google Translate and all that. And as I was looking at the top 10 cars sold at the end of last year, December 2021. I'm kind of reading down the list. You think, these all look like electric cars to me. Now, obviously, there are some incentives and reasons for people to stock up on these EVs before those rules changed at the end of the year in the Netherlands. But still, in December, the month of December, 35,000 cars, passenger cars were sold in the Netherlands. So, you know, they're not the biggest car market by any means. But when you look at the cars that were sold, number one, Skoda Enyaq. Number two, Mustang Mach-E. Number three, Volvo XC40 Recharge. Number four, Volkswagen ID4. Five, Audi Q4 e-tron. Six, Cupra Born. Seven, Polestar 2. Eight, Kia Niro. It doesn't say e-Niro, so asterisk next to that one. Nine, VW ID3. And in last place, in 10th, was a Tesla Model 3, which is 974 of those being sold in the month. I'm reading that right. So apart from maybe an asterisk on the Niro, I need to dig into that. The top 10 vehicles, not top 10 EVs, the top 10 vehicles sold in the country in the month of December were all electrically powered. And actually the top 13 all had plug sockets on, or a version that has a plug socket on. Just incredible. Netherlands, we love you. Are you the new Norway? Oh, we've got room for both of you. We love both. Right, now we'll talk about South Korea's LG Energy, seeing record demand by going public. Retail investors are bidding for $96 billion worth of shares as the South Korean battery maker LG goes public with an IPO. There's a frenzy to get hold of those shares. LG ES commands more than 20% of the global EV battery market and supplies Tesla, GM, Volkswagen, amongst others as well. And they've set aside 25% of the shares on offer for retail investors, says Reuters.com today. They will list on the 27th of January. The IPO price values LG at about $60 billion and will make it South Korea's third most valuable company behind Samsung and SK. Now we'll talk about that Audi rally car that was doing Dakar. The most complex race car in Audi's history has passed its baptism of fire in the Dakar rally. All three of the vehicles they raced, the RSQ e-tron, their rally cars, really mastered what is the world's toughest off-road test of vehicles. 24,000 desert kilometres were done. And, yes, it's a range extender, but it's a serial hybrid. And so, by the look of it, passed with flying colours. Now, look, new technology is always a little bit ropey to begin with in motorsport, and there's always a bit of a reliability issue. But the only reliability they had was stuff like hitting rocks that were, you know, breaking the suspension and stuff. It was nothing to do with the powertrain. Audi developed the RSQ e-tron in just over a year with a highly efficient electrified powertrain with the onboard range extender and, of course, driving on battery power as well. Just couldn't make those vehicles light enough to have all battery power. But as battery technology improves, no doubt we'll see them very soon. And the competitors saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. Change the rules. Asking the organisers next year to add even more than the 200 kilograms of weight penalty ballast for those vehicles because, hey, you and I know it, EVs are just better. So they have to be slowed down. Right, let's talk about Audi. Staying with Audi, Audi are installing in South Africa ultra-fast charging stations across the country and will become the first EV brand to invest publicly in those sites that anyone can use. There'll be 150 kilowatt units all the way down to 22 kilowatt AC units and even some 7 kilowatt posts as well. Audi investing in 70 new EV chargers in 33 sites. Grid cars are the ones doing the installation, and they have begun that in December last year. That'll go on through this year. So good news for, I don't know how many South African listeners I have, but that's good news for you. Now, the newly refreshed Tesla Model X has been seen in Norway. The brand new Model X has the CCS charge port on the back left, and it has the yoke steering wheel as well. The new charge port was unveiled at a media event in Taiwan, and it gave hope to customers outside of the US, where CCS is the standard. The deliveries of the new Model S, Model X will come with the CCS Combo 2 connector. Almost certainly. There's almost no doubt that those cars, like the 3 and the Y, will have the CCS connector. The Tesla proprietary connector is increasingly a rare sight. Certainly all the new V3s are all built with the CCS connector as well. Tesla is still holding to the estimate of the second half of the year for those vehicles to come to Europe. And of course, they'll be made in Fremont. And what's interesting about the VIN, if you look at the kind of VIN number inside the window screen of that Model X, it was made in Fremont, but made months and months ago. So that's a vehicle that's probably been going around the world, I imagine, maybe a bit of Canadian cold weather testing, and now over here in Europe doing some cold weather stuff in Norway as well. I'm sure they want to iron out any bugs before those cars go on sale in all weather conditions. I'll pop a link to Drive Tesla Canada if you want to see the pictures. Now, in the US, the chain Rotten Robbie is partnering with FreeWire to put in the first EV ultra-fast chargers at their San Jose, California stations. The deployment marks their first EV charging solutions and Silicon Valley's first publicly accessible boost charger, FreeWire's battery integrated technology. Now, Rotten Robbie is a family-owned business with 8 decades of experience in service, how to run service stations, and so by putting in EV chargers, it's a recognition that, hey, they can see the writing on the wall and they're not going to be selling petrol and diesel forever, so they're getting into that. And actually, the FreeWire technology is brilliant stuff. It is an EV charger with an integrated battery. Think of it like a bucket being filled in the top by a dripping tap. And that's because for the tap to drip, it's a lot cheaper than turning the tap on full blast. And yet sometimes you turn up and you want to water the garden. Oh, like a water butt, yeah? So the water butt that, I don't know, collects rainwater off the roof of your shed. So it doesn't rain every day, but it drips in at the top, right, when it rains. And then sometimes you want to water the plants, so you open up the tap at the bottom and water comes gushing out, and then you turn it off, and that's basically the technology of the FreeWire EV chargers with batteries. If you've got a 50 kilowatt grid connection for an existing 50 kilowatt charger or a couple of chargers, you've got a pretty reasonable size grid connection and you want to put in some very fast, rapid charging, well, you could pay for the grid work to be done, but that is massively expensive. It takes a long time. The minute you start digging up roads and pavements and putting high voltage stuff down, it's crazy expensive. Or knowing that those chargers aren't used all the time, stick them on a 50 kilowatt connection, replace some old hardware, rip out the old chargers, put in this new FreeWire stuff. That way it can always be charging the battery. A car turns up, it dumps all of that power into the car. It waters the plants really quickly. Then that car pulls away. Maybe half an hour goes by, that charger isn't being used. But meanwhile, it's topping up the battery inside it with that slower, cheaper grid connection. It's fabulous technology, backed by BP, actually, and others as well. FreeWire. I've got to get FreeWire on this podcast. Right, let's talk about Smart. The Smart Concept 1 has been testing in camouflage. Smart introduced the Concept 1 at the Munich Motor Show last September and said the eventual production model would indeed look very similar to that concept show car they showed. It's the first new Smart car coming since Daimler and Geely did a 50-50 tie-up to keep the Smart brand alive. The dimensions are about 4.2, 4.3 metres long, 1.9 metres wide, and about 1.7 metres tall. It's shorter and wider, a little taller than a Mercedes-Benz EQA. I've seen people calling it a crossover or an SUV styling. It's not. It looks like, you know, if it were a lot bigger, it would be. But I think that size car, that shape car, that segment, you can't call it an SUV. You could try. Now let's talk about gigafactories being built in the UK. A firm planning on making EV car batteries in the UK. British Volt just got £100 million of government funding through the Automotive Transformation Fund. British Volt also announcing $1.7 billion of private funding to back up the government money. At full capacity, they'll have enough battery cells for, they say, 300,000 EVs a year. But I don't know what the average size of the battery pack is that they did that calculation on. Also over here, Nissan's battery partner, China's Envision AESC, are building a new battery plant next to the Nissan plant in Sunderland as well. That's your EV News Daily for today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. I want to know from you what EV advertising you've seen. Maybe, you know, cast your mind back to the last Super Bowl, or maybe some stuff over Christmas and New Year, those big TV ads, maybe just some ads on your Facebook page that you keep seeing over Christmas and New Year. I saw loads of EV ads on the telly. So where have you seen it? Maybe in a magazine or a newspaper. Let me know and I'll read it out on Sunday. hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts. He runs Electric Future, EF.Energy. Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley, check out his EV Review Ireland channel. It's on YouTube and it's brilliant. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Looking forward to his two Model Ys arriving next month. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.